But what price am I going to have to pay? Can I get a witness? That means eating less, exercising more. That's not easy to do. Or how about fasting? Everybody like to fast? Raise your hand. You really enjoy fasting. Well, one, God bless your heart. You are great. I can't. I can, but I don't like it. It's not easy. I can get up in the morning if I'm not fasting, I can go all day and not eat. But if I plan to fast, I wake up and the refrigerator's calling my name. It's not, fasting is good for us, but it's not easy. Praying. Anybody have problem with praying? Anybody ever have any problem praying? I want to take a survey. How many find it difficult to pray for an hour? I think it's about 100% of us. Not impossible, but it's difficult. How many of you have ever felt guilty for not praying as long as you wanted to? Yeah. And guilt shouldn't have anything to do with that, but we get that way. How many have tried to and failed to pray because you were just too tired? Your mind started wandering. I think that's just about 100% too. Amen. How many just feel like your prayer didn't get anywhere? How many feel a need for more prayer in your life? Again, I think 100%. We have been having some tremendous services at Grace Point, and I think it stems back to prayer. The Tuesday night prayer meetings, the prayer before service. Prayer is the key to so much of what we need to get whatever we might need. I believe there's something happening in this country and around the world. I believe there's some type of a spiritual awakening that reaching even to our governments in the White House and the United Nations. Did you know that right now there is prayer meetings being held at the White House and in the United Nations? In fact, I read recently, I think there's been like a dozen people in the United Nations that have been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost since this started. And there's Bible studies going on. But at the same time, there is an onslaught of the enemy, an attack against Christianity as a whole. But there's a bill in California that's been introduced that would disallow the Bible to be used as language versus alternative lifestyles. We have some ministers that are going to be going up there on May 7th and 8th to Sacramento to talk to the state legislators, the senators, and attorneys to try and stop this. They're asking for prayer. Our ministers, this apostolic ministers I'm talking about, one God apostolic tongue talkers I'm talking about, they're fighting against this. On May 4th, this Friday, apostolics from all over the country are going to be meeting in Washington, D.C. for prayer. They're going to be praying for our president, for our government, for our country. And if there ever was a time for God's people to come together and pray, it is today. Amen. But these things are going forward. And as we go forward in prayer, I've talked to some recently that about prayer that and how it's affected their lives. And I've heard all my life this term. Have you ever heard it? Oh, she's a prayer warrior. He's a prayer warrior. Sister Mangan is well known as a lady that's a prayer warrior. Well, what makes someone a prayer warrior? When I think of warrior, I think of a ninja. A gladiator. How about a Navy SEAL? I wouldn't want to tangle with a Navy SEAL. John Wolfram was a Navy SEAL. He was the first frogman, Navy SEAL, to reach the Apollo 11 space capsule after it came back from the moon. And he wrote a book on what it takes to become a Navy SEAL. And the rigorous training, it just amazes me how a human body could go through all the things that they have to do to become a Navy SEAL. And he said many times, people would drop out. It's just too tough. I can't do it. He said even just hours before the end, They do what they said, ring the bell, which means I'm done, I can't go any farther. And they say, he said that in the last week they have what's known as Hell Week, where for 72 hours they don't sleep. They're constantly moving, running, swimming, training, and just to near total exhaustion. But when that 72 hours is done, they are officially a Navy SEAL. Brother Wolfram ended up having two tours of service in Vietnam. But now he walks into one of our churches in Southern California, is repentant and baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, and now is in Southeast Asia as a missionary. You talk about somebody that could be a prayer warrior. He knows what it takes to become a warrior. Amen. As with the Navy SEAL, training can prepare a person for battle. Training can prepare us to fight against the enemy, but it's only experience. Experience in the battle that makes one a brave or experienced soldier. The definition of warrior is this: a brave or experienced soldier or fighter. I'm looking at a bunch of warriors and fighters, some that don't realize what they are. A warrior between battles, he doesn't just sit around waiting for a battle to come up, eating potato chips and drinking Pepsis. He's out there working. He's studying. He's practicing. He continues to exercise and maintain those abilities so that when he is called, he's ready to be out there on the front lines and do the battle. That Navy SEAL camp is you know, we have a gentleman that comes to almost all of our meetings up at Ocala, and you probably see him just running the aisles. Got cowboy boots. I think everybody has. He is a former Navy SEAL. And you know, I think somebody told me he's still, at his age, and after all he's been through, he swims 5 miles every day, practices. Keeping those skills, which he may never use again, but he keeps those skills active. And so it's so important to maintain a consistent prayer life. Don't wait till the battle rages to pray. Don't wait until something is about to take place. Only training and experience can make a person a true prayer warrior. And a prayer warrior will not wait until he's faced with a battle to pray. He'll continue to pray always. And a consistent daily prayer life is the sign of the makings of a prayer warrior, praying every day. Today, I want to talk about the making of a prayer warrior, what it takes to be a prayer warrior. We're in a battle, folks. Every day of our lives, we're in a struggle. And it's a spiritual battle. It's not a physical battle. But if we're going to serve God, we're going to face the enemy. Don't think it unusual that times come against us. Don't think it unusual that we have to battle, because the battle is a daily fight that we must be ready for. And prayer is a way to get ourselves ready. God has given us everything we need to defeat the enemy. Everything we need, God has given us to be able to fight and defeat the enemy. But it's up to us. It's up to me to use what God has given me to fight against the enemy. Because I tell you, the enemy is going to come against me, and I've got to be ready. The Apostle Paul tells us about the spiritual equipment that we need in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Paul is describing who we are fighting against. It's not a physical battle. We're not on the streets beating each other, I hope. It's not physical, it's spiritual, a spiritual battle. And it's against spiritual principalities. It's against spiritual power, spiritual rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is why we need to pray for our government leaders. We need to pray, because let me tell you something, if the spirit world of this world can get to them and cause them to do what the spirit of this world wants, then the battle is going to be even heavier. This is why we need to pray for those in California. Those ministers in California is going to go up to Sacramento and fight against this new amendment they're trying to get in place up there. But then Paul tells us what God has provided for our protection in the battle. He said, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." We can see we've been provided the tools to fight against the enemy. The helmet, salvation, breastplate of righteousness, you can't get through that. The shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, loins girt about with truth. Aren't you thankful for truth? Amen. Thank God for truth. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We have everything that we need for the protection from the enemy. It's how we use it or whether or not we use it. Amen. The shield, the sword, the helmet, the breastplate. But in the next verse, Paul tells us we have an offensive weapon that is powerful that we need to use. You ever think about prayer as being an offensive weapon? He said in verse 18, "Praying always with all power," or all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, "and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Praying always. He just described what you're going to be wearing. This is your battle gear. You've got this. You've got salvation. You've got truth. You've got faith. You've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You've got all these things. Now what are you going to do with them? He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Praying with all perseverance and supplication in the Spirit. I always like to get the real meaning of words. So I looked up the meaning of perseverance. It's steadfastness in doing something despite the difficulty or delay in achieving success. A Navy SEAL has to endure a lot of things and has to be steadfast in doing what they're doing in order to achieve that place as a Navy SEAL. And then no matter how long it takes, no matter how difficult it is, praying always with all perseverance and supplication. Now, you know what supplication means. It means humbly. Humbly and earnestly asking God to provide. I've had several speak to me about prayer lately, and some are having difficulties in prayer. Some have told me that it seems like I spend all my time praying about me. Well, who knows you better than you? Especially if you don't confide in somebody. You don't know what troubles I've got. You don't know what I'm going through. That'll make a country song. You just don't know me. I know me. So it's all right to pray for you. We need to pray for everybody, that's of course, but the difficulties of feeling that they've been unsuccessful in prayer and that they've failed in their prayer life. And I've had a couple talk to me about this, and they spend most of their time praying for themselves, and I just want everybody to know, we're all the same, okay? You don't pray for me as much as I do, and I don't pray for you as much as you do. I do pray, but you don't know me like God knows me. And we all have the same struggles and problems conquering our flesh through prayer. I've asked several to help me today. Two are here, so I'm gonna use them. I've asked them to take just a minute and describe some of their personal difficulties in prayer, and then how prayer has affected them. Sister Jessie, she's not really a new convert, but she's new in the Lord. And I just want her to talk a little bit to young people. She's a young lady. Hasn't been in church very long. Hasn't served God long. Listen to what she has to say.
Thank you. Praise the Lord, everyone. This is super scary. So many people. Oh gosh. had to write everything down because I knew once I got up here, just go blank. So what prayer means to me. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." When I first started out, I knew what prayer was, and I knew what it could do, but I didn't really, believe in the power that it could give me. And so, I prayed continually and continually, and even to this day, I still struggle sometimes, but praying continually is necessary to feel the power of God in your life. And so I wrote this. I pray because it is my way to connect to the God of peace, love, and mercy. I'm in constant need of the love and mercy of God, and by my prayers, I can get the refilling I so desperately need. The Bible says in Psalm 61 that when my heart is overwhelmed, I will be led to the rock that is higher than I. Throughout my day-to-day life and the things that I face, I want to constantly be led to the rock that is higher than I. As a follower of Jesus, I have learned a lot throughout the years, and one of the most important things I know to do is pray about everything, about my problems, my emotions, my pride, my anger toward people and myself. My God hears my prayers and is constantly molding my heart to be more like His. He is revisioning my eyesight every time I get into His presence. Each time I get into the holiest of holies, He increases my faith in Him, and I need faith in Him to be faithful. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. When I come to God, I make my petitions known to Him. I knock on the door for my lost friends and family. I knock on the door for healing, spiritual, emotional, and physical. I knock on the door every time I pray to Him. Colossians 4:2 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." I'm thankful that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords hears my prayers. I am blessed that I'm able to pray to Him and that He hears my prayers. Prayer is necessary if one desires to know the Lord. Communication with the King is not something to take lightly. Our prayers are powerful and life-changing if we allow them to be. These past few months, I've been feeling the burden of prayer on my life. For years, I believed I was nothing in the kingdom of God, and I still struggle with that. But I can't ignore the fire and burden in my heart for lost souls and struggling children of God. I believe and I know prayer changes things. The little prayers that on Tuesday night, when we don't shout and we don't, intercede, those little prayers are powerful. When we come on Tuesdays, we're banging on God's door. And when we intercede at home, we're banging on God's door. Lord, hear my prayers. It is your will that every man be saved. So hear my cry and save my lost friends and family that I pray for continually. You are the God who moves mountains. So God, I know you're able to move my mountains. My faith in you is greater than my fear and doubt in my mind. My last little thing says, can we this Tuesday night bring our cry and petition to God with faith, believing He can answer our prayers?
Amen. Well, that's as much as I need. We can go home now. Wow. That's great. This is just a young lady just starting to serve God. Take to what she had to say. This was awesome. I asked Sister Harper. Now, she's not as young as Sister Jessie, and she's been around for a few years, and I've asked her to, just because she's been serving God for a long time does not mean she doesn't struggle also, okay?
Anybody that's gone to war, we sing all the time. We don't fight with guns and swords, We sing it, but do we really believe it? And my arsenal is not like the world's arsenal. Number one, in my arsenal, the first thing that is important is your ID. Because if you don't know who you are and who He is, you might as well just not even pray. I'm sorry, ID is important. Sister Mangum taught me probably 50 years ago that the man with the big M, God, robed himself in flesh. But guess what he did? He gave man with the little M dominion. That means we've got power. Our promise is after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. So if you know who you are and you know who he is, you've got the first thing and the making of a warrior. Because when you go into the Army, you go into the Navy, Air Force, don't want to leave any of those out. They're all important. You identify. That's one of the things they tell you, identify with each other. So everybody that has the Holy Ghost, please stand. That's how many prayer warriors we have in this place. That's how many. You may be seated. Second thing I have in my arsenal is Kleenex. Don't try to go pray without it, because you'll have to get up and go get a piece of toilet paper or go get some Kleenex, because the Bible teaches about the weeping between the porch and the altar. When you start feeling the need, the compassion, you are going to weep. I don't know if you've noticed, but it's springtime. Not just in the area around us, in Grace Point. It is springtime. Babies are being born. And what do you do when you get a baby? You travail. Now, some of you might have went, ugh. And some of you may have let out a good hoop and a holler. When I was having my babies, there was one woman that was screaming at the top of her lungs. But you know what? She brought forth a baby. It is not necessary how loud we scream. Believe it or not, I wasn't a screamer. I can't believe I wasn't, but I wasn't. But I travailed. And when Zion travails, sons and daughters are going to be born. The second thing I feel like you've got to have in your arsenal, I know everybody's got iPads. They've got phones. I have a Kindle that reads to me at night. I go to sleep. It puts you right to sleep, too. Better than a pill. I was listening to Samuel last night, and I don't remember even the second chapter because it put me to sleep. But Brother McGuire mentioned during our prayer and fasting about that, as Brother Keith Gerwall called it, a penance. We could have a cup of coffee, get your Bible out with a pencil and paper. You know why you need to do that? Because we are easily distracted. I don't know about you, but I'm a multitasker. I can do several things. I can listen. My husband will turn the Bible on, and I'm cooking breakfast. I'm listening. He'll say, "Are you listening?" Yes, he can do one thing at a time. I can do several. I'm washing clothes. I am cooking breakfast. I am making my lunch. But I'm listening. But you know what? That's not really knowing what's in the Bible. And this is my commands. This tells me what to do. And that is so important in our lives. If we're not careful, we think prayer warrior, oh, I can't be. You can be, because you've got the Holy Ghost. And after you got it, you receive power, and he intends for you to have dominion. Let's all say dominion. That means control. God wants Grace Point to have control over the city of Lakeland and surrounding areas. You can be that.
Okay, we just heard from two prayer warriors. Amen. Listen, we all struggle at times with prayer. as you've heard. But even the disciples, they needed help. Jesus had been praying. They'd watched him. And after they were done, he was done, they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew 6, 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. He gave them an outline. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is just an outline of how we can pray and hit all the areas that affect our lives. Now, these two that have talked today, they've really taught the rest of the lesson, but I'm going to go ahead and finish because I got about 14, 15 minutes. But when we pray, follow that outline. If you can't think things to pray, just turn to Matthew there and look at that. Begin with worship. David said in Psalms 100 and verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Start out with praise. Worship God in prayer. I'll tell you what, that gets God's attention. Do you know why? The Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. When we begin to praise him, God is there. And we start our prayer in praise, we don't have to worry about whether or not God's going to hear the rest of our prayer. He's listening because you got his attention with praise. Amen. Then it's important to seek his will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's so important. Let's let God know what we want. Let's go ahead and pray for what we need. And then say, Lord, thy will be done. Thy kingdom. What is the kingdom of God? Well, Paul tells us in Romans 14, 17, the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Thy kingdom come. Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost every day. Amen. God, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come in my life. Thy kingdom come in my home. Thy kingdom come in this church. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Praise God. Every day of my life, I want God to cleanse me, to refill me, to purify my heart. I want the kingdom of God in me, and I want to be in the kingdom of God. Praise God. Although it might be difficult at some times, we should always seek his will. You know, there's some things that we don't need to pray about. Thought we're supposed to pray about everything. No, I don't need to pray, God, let me win the lottery. I don't need to pray, God, let the Bucks win. God don't get involved with the lottery. He don't get involved with the Bucks. Praise God. Anyway, then he asked, we need to ask for our needs. Give us this day our daily bread. God, today, I don't feel too good in my body. I need your strength, God. Lord, I'm having trouble on my job. Would you help me today through my job situation? Lord, I need a job. You know, we present our petition to him. Tell him what we have need of right now, God. These are the things that I have need of. And, oh, yes, bless Brother and Sister McGuire because they need your strength, God. You know, as we go on, you know, and then we need to make sure that we have space for time for repentance. Forgive us our sins as we forgive forgive others. Notice he's telling us we will be forgiven as we forgive. Whatever offense has happened to me, if I fail to forgive the person that offended me or hurt me, I can't be forgiven. Amen. You know, if we could forget, Brother McGuire, we probably wouldn't need to forgive. You slap me down today and tomorrow, I don't even remember it, so I don't need to forgive you. But he said, forgive our sins as we forgive others. And then he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, we know God doesn't lead anybody to be tempted to sin. But if we follow Christ according to Scripture, he will lead us, like David said, in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When we follow the word of God, the things of God, the word of God being a lamp under our path, or a pathway and a light under our feet, Psalms 119, 105, we will not stray from the path. We're talking about praying. God, help me through these areas. lead me through to the path of righteousness, because my righteousness is as the filthy rags in the sight of God. Many of the Psalms that David wrote are prayers. Psalms 51 and verse 10, he said, create in me a clean heart. Boy, wouldn't you pray that every day? Every day I say, create in me a clean heart. This prayer was made right after he got cornered by Nathan because he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, had had her husband killed. And this is what he said. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Praise God. Lord, make sure my heart's right. God, search me out. Make sure everything is all right with me. I'll tell you what, when we come to God and we present our petitions to him and we repent of our sins, God hears what we're saying. And he said, I will cast your sin as far as the east is from the west. I will never forget, or forget. I will always forget them. I'm not going to remember them against you. I'll never remember them against you anymore. Let's not wait until there's a sin, though, or a tragedy to pray. Remember, when those times come and situations have developed in our lives or in the lives of our loved ones, yeah, we need to be the warrior out there fighting, all right. But before those times come, let's make sure that we're still practicing, we're still training, we're still praying, seeking God's will, seeking God's attention through all of that. Praise God. Praise God. Prayers are always answered. And we need to pray always. Pray without ceasing just simply means to be consistent in prayer. Sister Jessie, you're absolutely right. Consistent prayer every day. It doesn't have to be an hour and a half each day. It doesn't have to be an hour each day. But it could be praying constantly. Lord, I'm in prayer. God, I can only spend 10 minutes this morning, but Lord, here I am. I'm going to trust you, God. And then this afternoon, I've got another 15 minutes. Here I go, God. Listen, consistent prayer gets God's attention. Praise God. What we need to do is build a monument of prayer that will come up before God. Like Cornelius did. Cornelius was a Gentile. He didn't know the God of Israel. He didn't know the God of creation. He was an officer, a centurion in the army. But Acts chapter 10 tells us this. He was also a devout man who feared God or loved God with all his house and gave much alms to the people and prayed always, consistent. Now, what did he pray? I don't know. It doesn't say. What was he praying for? I don't know. Doesn't say. He just prayed always. We don't have a record of how or what he prayed, but his prayers were recorded in heaven, and they came up before God as a memorial. And then one afternoon, Acts chapter 10 and verse 4. And when he looked on him, an angel had appeared to him. And here Cornelius is looking at him. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Can you imagine? There is a Grace Point memorial in heaven. Greater than that. There is a McGuire Memorial. There's a Cron Memorial. There is a Griffiths Memorial. You know, I could go through each one. Our prayers are forever being laid up in heaven. Praying, folks, that is why we are having such remarkable services. That's why the Spirit of God is moving in this place and moving in this city and really moving across the country. And around the world, our missionaries are reporting thousands being baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. It's because somebody's praying. Somebody is building memorials. Praise God. Don't ever give up. Whatever you're praying for, don't give up. Don't stop. Don't give up. Your answer's on the way. How long did Cornelius' prayer pray before the angel came to him? It doesn't say. It's just that he prayed always. Daniel had prayed and fasted for 21 days to know the vision that he had seen. And he continued day after day praying the same prayer. You ever come to God and say, it's me again, Lord. I got a problem I can't answer. Sometimes it's just every day, God, here I am. Here I am. But here I am. I didn't quit. I'm back, Lord. Here I am. I'll be here tomorrow. If I don't get my answer today, I'll be back tomorrow, and I'm going to keep on coming back. But it took 21 days for the angel, the answer to arrive, and the angel said, hey, listen, God heard you the first day. He heard you the first time you prayed, but you kept going and kept going. And probably those prayers helped the angel get through the forces of the enemy that were trying to stop him. Amen. Another prayer that David prayed is found in Psalms 139:23. Search me, O God. You ever pray that? Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. A prayer we need to pray every day. A prayer we need to pray every day. Lead me in the way everlasting. In other words, order my steps in your word, Lord. Because I want your word to be a lamp unto my feet, as Sister Harper was saying, and a light unto my path. Amen. David was an experienced warrior, all right. He killed Goliath, and slayed his 10,000s, but David became a prayer warrior. Read the book of Psalms. Read some of the prayers that David had prayed. But now, we all can be prayer warriors also. And we really are, if we could only understand. Like Sister Harper said, get ourselves under the situation where we know who we are. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Devil, you don't have anything in me. When we realize who we are, and we can pray, realizing, I'm talking to Dad. I can say, Abba, Father. I'm a son. I wouldn't deny my kids anything. Paul said in Philippians 4 and 6, and I've got to come to a close, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Everything for prayer and supplication, and thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. Tell him what you want. Tell him about you, what you need. Tell him what your desires are. That's all right. Tell him what your goals are. Tell him what your ambitions are. Go ahead. He already knows it, but he wants to hear it. Amen. We all have the potential to be prayer warriors if we will just be consistent with our prayers and trust him for the answers, whether the answer is yes or no. Or wait. God has given us the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that by itself, we have the potential of being a prayer warrior. Just having the Holy Ghost. Amen. James talks about prayer in chapter 5, verse 13. He said, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. If you got a problem on job, pray. If you just got a promotion, rejoice. Be excited. We're still talking about prayer. He said, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Oh, we're all human, folks. We all have faults. We all have weaknesses. Amen. We need to pray for one another at all times. Amen. We may not speak every single person's name in prayer every day, but to pray for each other constantly, having our friends and our church family up before God in prayer. Amen. Amen. Another, pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Effectual. Okay, closing with this. I want to know what effectual means. And it means sufficient to produce a desired result. Sufficient to produce a desired result. It might be 10 minutes. It might be an hour. It might be 21 days. But that prayer sufficient. And then one meaning for fervent is passionate. Another is hot. The effectual, fervent prayer availeth much. Avail means to profit. or to benefit much. When we pray and we're consistent with our prayer, and sometimes we will be in, like Sister Harper said, we may be in travail, but that effectual hot prayer, that effectual passionate prayer is going to get to the point that we get our prayers answered. Amen. These are effectual, fervent prayers. I don't have time for that. Okay. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand. I run out of time.